Will you please be seated and come with me in your copy of the scriptures to Acts chapter 21. We're going to be reading in brief this evening, verses 15 through 17 of Acts 21. We're now on the final leg of Paul's journey from the mission field. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. It's a journey of between 600 and 700 miles in total. And the final stage of that journey is the overland trip from the port of Caesarea to Jerusalem, a distance of 60 or 70 miles. And in our verses this evening, Luke gives us a brief description of that 60 or 70 mile journey, a journey that would have taken about 4 days if you're doing it on foot, as Paul likely was. So Acts chapter 21, beginning at verse 15, here is God's word. After these days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we should lodge. When we had come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. That's the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks now for your word. We thank you that every word of God proves true. We thank you that none of your words fall to the ground. We thank you that your words are more precious than silver refined seven times over. And so we pray that we would receive your word with delight this evening. We pray that your Spirit might use it in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's the final leg of a 600 or 700 mile journey. And well, sometimes the last stage of the journey can be the most difficult. That's when we start to get weary. Paul and his traveling companions have been on the road, probably, well, on the move. They've been at sea, but for probably for a couple of weeks or so. Most of the time, yes, has been spent aboard ship, but now they are on foot, making that journey from the port of Caesarea to Jerusalem. Yes, about 4 days if you're on foot. And literally, it's an uphill journey. You may notice that Luke says, we went up to Jerusalem. Yes, they're going from sea level up to Jerusalem. And we can imagine, perhaps, after being on ship for a period of time, to start actually getting out there on solid ground and walking around and starting that journey to Jerusalem, there must have been some weariness and some tiredness, not only perhaps the physical demands of the journey, but as Paul made that journey, the words of his friends, the concerns of his friends, must have weighed heavily on him, because you'll remember Paul's friends were very concerned about the threats that lurked in Jerusalem. But Paul perseveres. He perseveres on his journey. And here this evening, just in these three verses, there's some encouragement for persevering pilgrims. And just to look at two things for your encouragement, two things for your encouragement from our verses. I want you to see in verses 15 and 16 a faithful witness in the person of Mnason, and the warm welcome, the friendly welcome that Luke describes in verse 17 when Paul and his traveling companions arrive in Jerusalem. And so we have Luke introducing us to Mnason as someone who was a faithful witness. Listen again to verses 15 and 16. After these days, remember Paul has spent some time with the Christians in Caesarea, spent some time there. After these days, we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples from Caesarea went with us, bringing us to the house of Mnason of Cyprus, an early disciple with whom we should lodge. And, well, this is Luke's travelogue. But as Luke kind of recounts his journeys and Paul's journeys, it's significant for us to notice that Luke's travelogue is filled with snapshots of people. When you're on a trip, a vacation maybe that involves traveling around, you probably take photographs. You maybe even keep a journal, but you probably at the very least take photographs. And it may very well be that your photographs would be, well, you might photograph the landscape. You might photograph scenery. You might perhaps photograph architecture. You might photograph animals and plants that are new, strange, interesting. You might take photographs that would illustrate the culture of the places that you visit. Luke has lots and lots of snapshots of people. People are important to Luke. Now, remember, Luke is part of a missionary team. And as Luke describes this concluding portion of Paul's third missionary journey, time after time, Luke is setting before us these snapshots, these portraits of people whom he met along the way. And here is yet another of those snapshots, Nason, whom we meet in these verses. And Luke leaves all kinds of questions about Nason unanswered. This is the only place in Scripture that we find Nason mentioned. He was from Cyprus. We're told that about him. And there are many, many unanswered questions about Nason. And you might not be surprised to know that the scholars have all kinds of scholarly discussion about Nason. Did he live somewhere between Caesarea and Jerusalem? Did he actually live in Jerusalem? Was he someone who had traveled from Cyprus to be in Jerusalem for Pentecost? Had he rented a place in Jerusalem where Paul could say? You can imagine how the debates go. Luke leaves those questions unanswered. Luke tells us this about Nason. Nason was an early disciple. That is the important thing that Luke wants us to know about Nason. He was an early disciple. The Greek, it's the idea, he was a disciple from the beginning. And some people have interpreted that to mean that he was an old man. And it's possible that he was. But what Luke seems to have in mind is that as the gospel began to take root, Nason was there among the early disciples. It may have been that he was there at Pentecost. When the church was birthed, it may have been that he was one of the 120 who gathered in the upper room praying for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. It may have been that he was one of those who in the early days of the church went from Jerusalem preaching the gospel. We know there were those from Cyprus who were there in Jerusalem. We know that some of those Cypriot converts went to Antioch preaching the gospel. It may have been that Nason was among them, but Luke says the important thing to know about Nason was that he was an early disciple of the Lord Jesus. And it's now some 30 years since Pentecost, and Nason is still going on with Jesus. He is still a disciple. Now, there might be all kinds of other things that could be said about Nason. Was he a preacher? Was he gifted in this way? Was he gifted in that way? Did he occupy some exalted social status? Was he a lowly person? But Luke zeroes in on this. Nason was a disciple, and he was a disciple who persevered over decades as a follower of Jesus. What an encouragement that must have been to Paul. Paul has been out planting churches. He has dealt with new Christians. He has discipled recent converts. And always, always, there is the concern, how will this person do? And what a joy for Paul and Luke and these others to come to the home of Nason and meet with someone who has been a follower of Jesus for decades. That's one of the precious things that God's people celebrate that foolish people do not appreciate. We should appreciate the witness of those who have persevered with the Lord Jesus over a period of years. And let me speak to those of you who have persevered with Jesus over a period of years. That perseverance is an encouragement to the saints. It encourages your brothers and sisters. It is a blessed thing that we here at Knox have a spectrum of ages among which is well represented those who have persevered in their faith over years, over decades, who have wisdom and maturity that comes from experience, the ones of whom the 92nd Psalm speaks, who are planted in the courts of the Lord, who bear fruit even to old age. They are fruitful even as their years advance. And as we said a couple of Lord's days ago, God gives his people as they age, the gifts of maturity, the gifts of experience, that maturity is to be treasured by the church. It is a precious heritage for the saints to be able to rub shoulders with those who have persevered over a period of time. The Lord has blessed us in that way at Knox. And I want to encourage those of us who might be younger, and I'll leave it to you to gauge who is younger and who is older. Let's make it our business to prize and cherish those who have persevered in the faith over a period of time. Then let me address those of you who are younger, even those of you who are very young. You have set your feet on that path. And let me encourage you to persevere. Keep on going. Continue to walk with the Lord Jesus. We hear Paul addressing Timothy in 2 Timothy, speaking to Timothy of the things that he has heard, the things in which he has been instructed and of which he has become convinced. And now, years on, Timothy is entering periods of fruitfulness in his ministry. So those of you who are at an earlier stage of the journey, be encouraged to persevere and take encouragement from the example of those who have persevered, because they have not persevered in the face of easy or trouble-free circumstances. They have persevered in the face of difficulty. And it may very well be useful for you as you experience challenges, difficulties, discouragements, setbacks, to talk with some of those older saints, because they've trodden those difficult paths ahead of you. Luke tells us right at the beginning, and remember, this is Luke's account, and of course it's the second volume of Luke's writing, but Luke tells us that he, in writing his gospel, interviewed those, and I'm quoting from Luke chapter 1, verse 2, Luke interviewed those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, who delivered an eyewitness testimony to us. And it may very well have been that Nathan was one of those individuals who was there right at the beginning. And again, we can imagine Luke with his pen and paper, his stylus and parchment or whatever, taking notes there in Nathan's house and hearing about the things to which Nathan was an eyewitness. Matthew Henry says, and this is just so lovely, so Matthew Henry, with these old disciples, one would choose to lodge, for the multitude of their years will teach wisdom. So give thanks for those who are older and who have continued as disciples of Jesus. And when all is said and done about us, may it be said of us that we were disciples of Jesus. And then there's encouragement in the witness of Nathan, but there's also encouragement in the friendly welcome that Paul and his companions had when they arrived in Jerusalem. And here they are. They've traveled hundreds of miles, and they arrive in Jerusalem, and Luke tells us, when we come to Jerusalem, the brothers received us gladly. Here they are showing up among the Christians in Jerusalem. Paul was someone who would have been known to at least some of the Christians in Jerusalem. Perhaps Luke was known to them as well, but we know that there were a number of traveling companions, and they also were welcomed by the saints at Jerusalem. And indeed, among Paul's traveling party, there were not only Jews, but there were those who were Gentiles. Luke himself, probably, but some others who had come from the mission field. Gentile converts coming to Jerusalem. Now, we know there were tensions between the Gentile Jews and the Gentile Christians and the Jewish Christians. But these Christians step out with a fine example of hospitality. They welcome Paul and his companions warmly. Now, in the next verses, we're going to hear about the official welcome that Paul and his companions had from the leadership of the church in Jerusalem. What I want you to notice here is that the warm welcome that was extended is a welcome that's not associated with the leaders. I'm sure the leaders certainly were equally receptive, but these are the members of the Jewish congregation receiving these ones whom God has guided to them. We had what a marvelous conversation we had on Friday evening regarding the privilege the Lord gives to us of welcoming those who come among us. And that is a marvelous thing to do. That is an encouragement to the saints. And some of those who come among us are perhaps travel weary. They've traveled a distance spiritually. They may have traveled over rough and difficult terrain. They find themselves here at Knox. It is our privilege to welcome them with the welcome of the Lord Jesus, to receive them, to bless them, to encourage them, to enfold them with warmth and love, because Jesus has received us. And so as Jesus receives us, we have it as our privilege to welcome those whom he sends to us. And yes, these Jerusalem Christians, predominantly Jews, were ready to extend themselves to welcome Gentiles. John's told us that Jews have no dealings with Gentiles, but in Jesus Christ, those barriers are broken down. And those barriers broken down back in the first century are barriers that continue to be broken down as Jesus unites us with himself and unites us as one body, the very thing that we celebrate as we come to the table of the Lord. We are those who have been welcomed by Jesus. We are welcomed to his very table. And as Jesus welcomes us, it is our privilege to welcome those whom he sends to us. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this bright picture of saints receiving encouragement, weary saints who have traveled far, receiving encouragement, being bolstered through their interactions with other Christians. We pray that we would not see this simply as a heartwarming story. We pray that we would see in this a spirit-authored example for us, that we also might seek to give encouragement to one another through our perseverance in the faith, through the welcome that we extend to those who come among us, traveled, stained, and wearied. And we pray, Lord, that it might be our privilege to demonstrate the deep unity with which Jesus has united us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.